Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
You may have noticed there are more studies of animal communication. We now know that animals of multiple species have dialect. Some of them have syntax. But even as more people study animal communication, a divide between them exists. There are those who define communication in animals as separate from language. They acknowledge that cats, dogs, horses, birds all communicate, but they refuse to accept that they have language. Then there's another group who says that animals do have language. It is difficult for me to see how communication and language aren't part of the same thing. It seems reasonable to me that, by virtue of anatomy and physiology, various animals are capable of communicating. Over time, those expressions, be they vocal or scent-based or subtle body language expressions, come to take on specific meanings within a certain group or population. Which ones persist depend on which ones work. Which ones enhance the survival of that particular group or population, or a particular individual within it? Although many researchers have formulated lexicons, this expression means this, this body language means that, this type of cry means your cat is hungry, this kind of cry means your cat is angry, or whatever. Like all behaviors, we can't say anything about the meaning of communication unless we know the context in which it occurs. While there might be some gross generalities we can make regarding ear or head or tail, location or movement, it's not 100%. There are going to be individual variations. Some have said that the distinguishing feature of domesticated species is their ability to take that basic repertoire of behavior and adapt it to meet changing needs. Relative to companion dogs and cats, that has been a boon. These animals go with their owners, who are increasingly mobile. They move to different neighborhoods, not just different towns and states, but sometimes different countries. Sometimes they move from one place to another, stay there for a tour of business or duty, and then they move somewhere else. With each move, their communication needs are going to change just like those of the people they live with. They will be surrounded by humans who look, smell, and sound differently. And in order to get along with them, they're going to have to adapt their own behavior. The most energy-efficient approach is to take a behavior from the basic repertoire and adapting that behavior to fulfill this new need. As in humans, language in animals is dynamic. But if one's starting point is that animals are incapable of language, then of course this is silly. It can't be. Or, as an academic friend of mine once said, I'm not saying that it isn't true. I'm just saying it can't be. By that he meant that within the rules and the regulations of the discipline to which he belonged, that possibility was unacceptable. It could not be considered. But for the rest of us, it seems reasonable that all of the quirks, the dialects, the different languages that show up in the human species also show up in animals. We can't imagine it being any other way.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.